Good morning. Okay, how many of you pray? You're in church, you have to raise your hand, even if you don't, right? My goodness. We're going to be talking about prayer the next couple of weeks. But I heard a story that kind of relates to how some people approach prayer. There was a ship in the middle of a storm, and it was sinking fast, okay? And the captain cried out to the crew, and he asked this question. He said, does anyone here know how to pray? So the ship's in the storm, the ship's going down, it's literally sinking. And he yells out to the crew, does anyone here know how to pray? One man stepped forward and says, yes, sir, I know how to pray. The captain said, great. You pray while the rest of us put on life jackets, we're one short. Yeah. Funny story, but the question that the captain asked is penetrating. He says, does anyone here know how to pray? It's a significant question. See, sometimes we enter into a relationship with Jesus, and whether we have any kind of religious background or not, we enter into a relationship with Jesus, and we don't necessarily know stuff. We don't know enough about the Bible. We don't know, you know, we're expected to pray and to read and to study and to do these things and to give and all this stuff. But we don't necessarily know unless somebody tells us. And that's where discipleship comes in and so on and so forth. But this question, does anyone here know how to pray? In all the years that I've been in a relationship with Jesus, it's occurred to me that not everybody does know how to pray. I'm not talking about some specific, you know, words that you have to use or a specific way that you're standing, sitting, kneeling, whatever. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about, you know, what does it mean to actually pray? And I think that what I found is even a lot of believers, a lot of Christians have trouble with this concept of prayer. We don't necessarily have a difficulty with, we need to pray. Praying is talking with God, and we get that. We get some of the, but I think, I don't know if all of us, I know for myself, the first few years, I didn't really have a concept of what it actually does mean. You know, is it just thanking God for my food before a meal? That's part of it, of course. Is it asking God to heal a friend? That's part of it, of course. I think, though, some people, they get stuck, and that's kind of where they end. You know, they Thanksgiving and praying for things. Are those two elements part of prayer? Yeah, but that's not all there is to prayer. And so I want to start off by kind of trying to define what prayer means from a biblical perspective. Let me ask you, in your words, how would you describe prayer? Just either raise your hand or call it out or whatever. In your words, what does prayer mean to you? Conversation with God. So, Rachel, are you saying that it's an interchange? It's okay. That's good. I like that. What else? What's another way of describing prayer? If somebody came up to you, a son, a daughter, grandson, granddaughter, neighbor, whatever, and said, what does it mean to pray? What's some ways that you would describe it? Ruh-roh.
Part of prayer is pursuing God's presence.
Pursuing his presence. Okay, that's going to be a big part of what we're going to be talking about for the next couple of weeks. That's good. Conversation with God, being in his presence. Let's take a look at what some of history's greatest minds say about prayer. The brilliant scientist Sir Isaac Newton, he said that he could take his telescope and look millions and millions of miles into space. But then he added this. He said, but when I lay it aside, his telescope, go into my room, shut the door, and get on my knees in earnest prayer, I see more of heaven and feel closer to the Lord than if I were assisted by all the telescopes on earth. It's pretty deep. It's pretty good. E. Stanley Jones puts it this way. He said, prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. I love the way he puts this part. Ready? If I throw out a boat hook from the boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore to me or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but aligning my will with the will of God. It's a really, really good description. Are we allowed to ask God to intervene and make changes in the world? Of course. We pray for our leaders. We pray for health. We pray for finances. Of course. But ultimately, according to E. Stanley Jones, it's, but whatever you want, Lord. I want to be in alignment with your will. You're not a genie in a bottle. You don't do what I say. He hears us, but there's more to it. George Mueller. How many of you have ever heard of George Mueller? George Mueller he was known for a lot of things, but the biggest thing that he was known for was his constant prayer. Okay? And he was asked one time how much time he actually spent in prayer. And this is what he said. He said, I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk, and when I lie down, and when I arise, the answers are always coming. That's really good. A spirit of prayer. It wasn't just, here's my prayer time. It wasn't just, okay, we're about to eat. Let's thank God for the meal. All good stuff. He went further. And he was in a spirit of prayer. His thoughts weren't just random thoughts. His thoughts weren't just him thinking about things. He was directing his spirit, his conscience, his communion toward God as he did his normal daily stuff. Pretty neat. King David, remember David was considered a man after God's own heart. He says this in Psalm 27, verse 4. I think this is one of the greatest pictures of prayer. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Not always considered or not always looked at as a prayer verse, but it completely is, especially with what Ben shared about, you know, seeking his presence. David was more about basking in the presence of God than asking God to do stuff or to protect or what he did. The Psalms are loaded with it. Okay? But this is kind of the essence of his heart as he was going before the Lord. He was praying. Each of these descriptions that we've heard from some of these men and from some of our people kind of have the same concept of prayer is communion with the God of all creation. If we could wrap our mind around that, we'll be doing something. Because it's not just talking. It's not just talking to a person that we care about and the cares about us. It's not just talking to a very important person or a very powerful person. It's literally getting into the presence of God in a unique way and communing with the Creator of everything. It's intimate. It's personal. It's authentic. It's fulfilling. It's comforting. It's dynamic. It's powerful. It's transforming. It's captivating. It's not arduous. It's not a burden. It's prayer is living and vibrant and essential, and it's a moment by moment walk with God, realizing we talked about this in the teen Sunday school class today about God's presence is you know, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's always there. Do we believe that? Do we believe that we're always in the presence of God? Yes? Do we believe that God never ever leaves us nor forsakes us? Do we believe that? Do we? I'm honest about wanting to know the, do we truly believe that we're never outside of God's presence? Then we can be talking to him all the time. We could be communing with him all the time. I do like the concept that people say, hey, let's enter the throne room of God together. I love that word picture. It's a beautiful picture. And there's theological truth to that. But the real essence of prayer is we're always in his presence, which means we can always be speaking to him and hearing from him. I'm not going to get super weird and say, you know, hey, if you pray in the right way, you're going to hear booming voices out of heaven. We talked about this the past few weeks. God speaks to us primarily through his word. But as we read his word, he brings that up in our hearts, and he can speak to us in our hearts with a still small voice. And prayer is us communing with God on a moment-by-moment basis. I really wish I could describe it more. I wish I could put words to it. But I struggle with trying to capture the actual essence of prayer, because it's transcendent. It's above and beyond anything that we have with anybody else. My wife and I we talk and it's good and it's vibrant. I love that. But there's something different about talking with the creator of all existence. There's something different about the God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, has no limits, allowing me to be in his presence and to speak with him and to hear from him. There's something very, very transcendent about that. Not super weird, but definitely supernatural. And you know, what I want to do is I want to look at prayer, because I think other people struggle with it too. I think even people in the scriptures. Isaiah, when he was communing with the Lord, fell on his face and could barely utter a word. God reveals himself to Isaiah. Isaiah drops to the ground. Isaiah chapter 6 drops to the ground. And says, I'm a man of unclean lips. How can I talk to you? You're the holy God of all creation. And Isaiah, who all of us would be like, hey, if Isaiah came over to my house and said, hey, let's have a prayer meeting, we'd be like, oh, let's do it right now. And here's a guy that he drops on his face before the Lord and can barely utter a word. We see it with other people in the scripture as well. Job, when Job was in the presence of God, it says that Job placed his hand over his own mouth and would not utter a word. He was so staggered by the presence of God. See, even people in the scriptures struggle with it. Jeremiah, what did Jeremiah do when he was in the presence of the Lord? Wept. He just wept. John the Apostle. So remember John the Apostle. John walked with Jesus, yes? Okay, God in the flesh. He walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. Saw the most amazing things happen. And God even gave him, Peter and James at the Mount of Transfiguration a glimpse of his glory. Just a little glimpse, right? So John, if anybody is going to be, we'll say, comfortable in the presence of God, you would think it's going to be John. But take a look at what it says here in Revelation 1:17, when he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he said, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. He gets before the glorified Son of God, God in the flesh, glorified, nothing hindering is, and what does he do? He says he falls on his face as though he were dead. He was so overwhelmed by the presence of God that he felt like he was about to die. It's truly amazing. Prayer is far more important than just saying words. It's transcendent, it's beautiful, it's nourishing, energizing, fulfilling, it's life-giving, and it's absolutely essential for followers of God. Over and over again in Scripture, we're encouraged to pray. Matthew 26, 41 tells us, says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Watch and pray that you don't end up into temptation. Prayer protects us from sin and evil. Think about this. If you're praying constantly, if you're constantly in communion with God and cognizant of that, do you think your sin life is going to go up or down? It's probably going to go down, okay? Just by being in the presence of God, just by basking in his holiness. We see in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. When does it tell us to pray at the beginning there? All times. Praying at all times in the spirit. Again, we talked about this, I think it was last week or the week before, the difference between our spirit and our soul. Our soul is our mind, our intellect, and our will. Our spirit is that part of us, that divine nature that God breathes into us that allows us to commune with him. Okay? So it's not, again, it's not this weird kind of, well, what does that mean? It's my spirit crying out to his spirit. Okay? And because of John chapter 4, Jesus says, I am God is the spirit. They that worship him, worship him what? Spirit and in truth. Okay? So he says here, he says, praying at all times in the spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. In prayer, we're all out to bring each other before the Lord. So prayer unites us as a faith family. It is really tough to be mad at somebody if you're praying with them and for them. Husbands and wives, I'm going to give you the key, the absolute best key to ending an argument. And it's not just do whatever your spouse says. Pray together. You have a disagreement? We all have disagreements, right? Any of you married people never have a disagreement with your spouse? Okay, I want your secret, sir. He put it up, and I'm not going to say who it was, but Lacey gave him an eye, and the hand went right back down, okay? Conflict's going to happen about any number. We're human beings. We're still walking around in this flesh. We're still walking around in this fallen world. We still have an enemy that's still attacking. We're going to have times of conflict. It's during those times that we can be, you know, our words can either hurt or heal. Guys, just for a second here, a lot of us want to fix things. A lot of us are fixers. We think, okay, something's wrong. What do I need to do to fix it? What do I need to say to fix it? And we kind of have that built into us. It's who we are as men. It's great that we're built that way, but some things can't be fixed by our words to our spouse. But our words with our spouse before the Lord, it's like a healing balm. It's like nourishment to our soul. Praying at all times. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing." In other words, that word "be careful" means don't be anxious, don't be frightened, don't be worried, don't be concerned. Be anxious. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I read a study the other day about mental health in our world. So the study was based off of, I think, a 12-year study by Stanford University. Stanford or Harvard, one of the two. I think it was Stanford. And they said, today in our world, we are more cognizant of mental health than ever before in the history of mankind. We have more access to therapy. We have more access to books and helps and all that stuff. And the study wasn't knocking it. The study was like, that's all good. But we have more awareness and access to that stuff now than ever before, yet we are more mentally and emotionally unhealthy than ever before, according to the study. they didn't draw a correlation of this stuff is causing it. They're just saying, how the world is continuing to spin out of control. It's rough. God gives us some answers here. Be anxious for nothing. Okay, how? Pray all the time about everything. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but think about this. How many of you, maybe you've been in the midst of some anxious things, some difficult life situation, and believe me, there are some difficult life situations going on right now in our faith family. People are struggling with stuff. We all have it. But think about one of those times when you were really anxious, you were really worried, you were really concerned, you were really fearful, you were really wound up, and you stopped and prayed. It didn't necessarily make everything disappear. But I guarantee many of us felt that peace that passes all understanding as we're in the presence of God. Again, it doesn't wipe everything out. It doesn't make everything all better and hunky-dory and good and okay, let's just go on our way and be just happy people all the time. But what it does do is it reminds us that we have a God on the throne of everything. And it helps us to have some peace in the midst of the storm. Prayer has been called the antidote to anxiety. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So prayer is perpetual. It's like breathing. It's necessary. And our persistence in prayer is actually an expression of our faith that God is able to intervene. Prayer is actually an evidence of our faith. Because it's not the hope so salvation or the hope that things are going to get better that the world kind of has. It's more of the knowledge that God's in control. And whatever he decides in this, I'm going to let him know how I want it to end. How many of you have ever prayed for something and God did maybe something different? How many of you prayed for something? Think about this really for a second. How many of you prayed for something and God did the exact opposite of what you asked for? Any of you? Yeah. Don't you love those times? No, we don't. We hate them. Okay? In the midst of it. But then later on, we look back, we're like, okay. Hindsight is 20/20. Is that that's a saying, right? We get through something. We're in the midst of something. We're like, Lord, can you do this or can you do that? And then something very different happens and we're like, what? I don't get it. And then we get on the other side of that dark tunnel and we look back and we're like, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we're like, oh, now I see what you did. I can, from experience, say that you know, there have been some dark times in my life that I prayed and I prayed hard and I prayed fervently and passionately and humbly, but yet confident that God could do what he wanted to do, and it didn't change the situation. But I found myself being okay with it. Not happy whatever was happening, but knowing that I already told my father. I already asked him. I already spoke to my father about this. Whatever happens, I'm good. I would love to say that that happens all the time, that I'm a super saint. And every time I pray, I just put it in God's hands. But this is what we do. We kind of, and I meant to bring a little fishing pole today. Okay, because sometimes we pray like a fishing pole, right? We're like, okay, there's this thing, we get the hook, and this is what I'm dealing with, and we cast it to the Lord, we cast it before the Lord, and before he has a chance to answer it or to give us peace, we reel it back in, and we pull it back to ourselves. And we're like, oh, how come I'm still struggling with this? And we cast it to him again. I'm just going to cast my cares upon him. There's a song like that, right? I'm going to cast my cares upon him. There's a Bible verse about that. I'm going to cast my cares upon him. And we cast it out there. And we're so proud of ourselves because we cast it out there. And as we're walking away, we're pulling it back in. And then we got that same old stinky bait, right? And it's like, we do that. Okay, God says, I know you're going to do that. I love you anyway. Keep coming to me. And when we pray and we are thankful at the same time, we are letting God know we're trusting in you, Lord. I don't like what's going on, but ultimately I'm going to trust in you. It doesn't mean to stop praying for it. Keep praying. God is very, very, very patient with us. Not like us, right? Remember how your child would come up to you and ask you for a cookie, and you're like, not right now. And they come 2 minutes later, ask for a cookie. No, not right now. And they come again, a cookie. And then what ends up happening? You end up giving them the whole box of cookies after a while just to shut them up, right? Because you're like, I'm losing my mind. This kid won't leave me alone. God's not like that. God's like, keep coming. Keep coming. I'm working you through this. Sometimes when we're going before the Lord in prayer, it's him working us through the situation, helping us to keep our eyes on him in that darkness. So one theologian put it this way. Faith shouldn't die if the answers come slowly, for the delay may be God's way of working his will in our life. When you feel tired of praying, know that God is present, always listening, always answering, maybe not in ways you had hoped for, but in ways that he knows are best. Not an easy place to go, admittedly. We are human beings faced with real human issues and real challenges. And there are going to be times we're going to get out of prayer and we're going to be like, okay, I gave it, but the situation's still hard. Life is hard. Which is why we need to continue to go before the Lord in prayer and commune with, and not just periodically pray, but bask in his presence. Because I think the essence of prayer is not asking for something or even being thankful for something. The essence of prayer is being in the presence of the King, being in the presence of the one, basking in the presence of the one that loves us more than we could possibly imagine. 1 Thessalonians puts it this way. Rejoice always. Is that easy? How many of you are like the last year, like every minute of every day, you were just rejoicing and cheering, and how many of you were like that? Oh, good. We don't have to have anybody committed. Okay. So, we live in a fallen world, right? How many of you experienced something challenging in the last year? Right? Part of being a human being in a fallen world. God knows all that. He warned us ahead of time that that would happen. He said, in this life, you will have tribulations, you will have trials, but trust in me. He told us it was going to happen. He expects it. He knows it. He's one day going to wipe it out, but until then, what do? Rejoice always. Notice what follows that. Because we think, how in the world can we rejoice always? Why do you think pray without ceasing follows that? Oh, by the way, the verse addresses, the books and the chapters and that wasn't part of the original text. That was put in later for us to be able to understand. So be careful that, you get to the end of a verse and think that the next verse is something completely different. It's not. It's a continual dialogue, okay? And he says, rejoice always. The way we're going to do that is pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Does that mean something bad happens to you? Lord, thank you for knocking me out today. Doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. It says give thanks in all circumstances. How many of you have something to be thankful to the Lord today? Now let's really put the pressure on. Can you share one of those with us today? What are you thankful for? I'll call a guy. Yeah, there you go. Well, you know what? We watched The Lion King last night, and you just did that with the bell. Yeah. I thought it looked like Simba, right? That was so cool. What are you thankful for? Simba, right? Yeah. Or Kip, right? What else? What are you thankful for today? Let us be thankful with you. Let us rejoice with you. What are you thankful for today? It's
warming.
Yes, be careful with that because we don't want to be, yeah. It's warming. Oh, yeah. Weather's changing. Yeah. What else? What's that?
Thankful I'm here.
I'm thankful for you. I missed you guys the past couple. I know you went on a trip and they were in Florida, but it was just as cold on there. It's like you go to Florida to get away from it and it follows you. Okay?
Safe place to worship.
Yeah. We come here not just safe from the world, from possibilities of attacks, that kind of thing, but safe in a family that's centered on grace and love and mercy. I come here and I see you people and I don't think, oh, I got to be really, really careful how I walk. I don't want people judging me and hurting me today. I come here and, you know, I feel myself resting. Are we going to be perfect with each other? No. But I do come here and I do feel a sense of grace, love, and mercy. What else? What are we thankful for today? What are you thankful for today?
My job.
My goodness, we get to provide for our family. We get to, yeah, absolutely. We have 6% of the world's population, but 60% of its wealth, access to 6% of its wealth. God says, we're going to make it so you can take care of your family. That is so huge. What else? What are we thankful for? I'm going to keep going for a little bit, so somebody might as well just say something. You get to stay home with your babies and raise your baby. Yeah, Angela shared that with me last week. She actually sent me a text. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't mean vacation because you guys work way more than if you were working on a job, most likely. But you get to be with your babies. You get to invest in them and love on them. That's beautiful, Tori. What else? What are you thankful for?
Our church family.
Yeah. I am incredibly grateful for this church family. What else? What are you thankful for?
Health.
Yeah. How many of you feel okay today? I'm not saying perfect because we have ailments, right? I actually was talking to Kurt earlier on and I just unloaded on him. That's one of the difficulties being a doctor. You end up, everybody comes here. I go to Sam too. I'm like, Sam, this hurts and that hurts. She's like, okay, you know, but we don't, you know, we're not perfect, but yeah, we got so much to be thankful for. And we could probably spend hours and hours naming the things that we're thankful for. And the Bible says that that's part of this rejoicing. When we're rejoicing and we're praying and we're giving thanks, and look at the end of it. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. People are always saying, I just want to know what God's will is. Here it is. Part of it, rejoice, pray, be thankful. There's a supernatural link between joy, prayer, and thanksgiving. It is really hard to be a Mr. and Mrs. Cranky Pants if you're in prayer and thanking God for what we do have. It's very, very hard to be crunchy and stressed out when we're in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who loves us. It's very hard to do that. Sometimes we struggle with prayer. Sometimes doubts will come in when we don't understand what God's doing, or when difficulties in this fallen world seem to overwhelm us. But instead of hanging up on God, that's how people see prayer, right? We pray and then we say, in Jesus' name, amen. That's not hanging up on God, by the way. That's not cutting the connection. Okay, amen is let it be so. It's not, okay, Lord, this and, you know, talking and, okay, all right, see you later, bye, click. That's not what it is. Okay, we can continue in prayer, experience his presence, experience his comfort, experience his joy, which leads to gratitude and a changed perspective. Ian Bounds writes, I think I have this actually in your notes. Ian Bounds wrote in my opinion, the definitive series on prayer. If you ever have an opportunity to get Ian Bounds' collection on prayer, it is phenomenal, okay? And this is one of the quotes. He says, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men and women whom the Holy Ghost can use, men and women of prayer, men and women mighty in prayer. What does our church need? It needs us to pray. Follow the Lord. Be in his word. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says this. It says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face when? Continually. Continually. You may be here, and you may be hearing this about rejoicing, and you may be thinking, yeah, but you don't get it. I'm at the end of my rope. You might be at the end of your rope. I don't know. The world's a tough place. Maybe life has beaten you down. Maybe you're exhausted. We're coming through probably one of the worst winters we've had weather-wise in maybe a decade. And with that comes a lot of challenges and struggles. In the midst of that, we've lost some loved ones. We have others that are ill, or there's a lot going on, right? Maybe you're exhausted. Don't give up. God is not done. Not done with you, not done with me. We can continue to draw strength from the Lord. I know this is a little hard to see, but you can look in your Bibles if you want. Isaiah 40 reminds us, beginning of verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. Do you feel faint? You feel beat up today? You feel tired? We got a God that gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases in strength. You ever feel like you're at the end of your rope? You ever get to that point in your life where you're like, oh, I just wish it would stop. I just wish I could get a breath of fresh air. I just wish I could get my head above the waves. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That word wait on the Lord means to wait with the Lord. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. That includes when we pray, when we rest in him, when we lean on him, when we enjoy just being in his presence. I want to challenge you. Sometime this week, when you think about praying, don't use any words. Not the whole week. But at some point this week, go before the Lord. Just bow your head and don't say a word. Just try to bask in his presence. Just try to calm your spirit. Your soul. Just kind of put your mind on him. And remember that he never leaves you nor forsakes you. Remember that prayer isn't just about us talking to him, but it's just being in his presence. Jesus said this to his disciples in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. He says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That word faint here means not to lose heart, not to be tired, not to become weary, not to give up, not to be discouraged or spiritless or faint-hearted, despondent, discouraged, not to be any of that things. The principle here is pray without losing hope. Don't see prayer as, okay, it's my last resort. God, I need this. I have no place else to go. I call those Peter prayers. Remember when Peter was sinking? Lord, save me! There are times when we need a good Peter prayer, when we're in the midst of it and we don't know where else to go. But that's not the only aspect of prayer that there is. The answers may not always come the way we want them to, but our responsibility is not really to figure out the answers, is it? Our responsibility is to simply draw close to the Lord. And sometimes, prayer means sitting silent in his presence. Sometimes that's what it means. I remember one time I went on a hospital visit, and it was a family, and they were struggling with the loss of a loved one. And on my way there, I tried to think, okay, what does God want? Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want? Nothing. Nothing came. Not a single verse. Not a single word of encouragement. Nothing came. I'm like, Lord, I'm almost at the hospital. And nothing. So I grab my Bible and I'm walking into the hospital. I'm going really, really slow, right? Because I'm thinking, okay, he's going to give it to me any minute now. It's coming. I get to the room, knock on the door. They let me in. I sit down with them. Nothing still. But I did get the sense that I was just supposed to be in God's presence with them. And I didn't say a word. Just sat down. There was weeping. Everybody's heads were bowed. And I remember distinctly, I remember that going on for about 15, 20 minutes. Nobody saying a word, but everybody's head bowed. And then at one point, I just said, "Thank you, Lord. Amen." I got up and I left. It was one of the most beautiful times I've ever experienced in my life with a family that was struggling. And it didn't require me to have a bunch of words. It didn't require me to have incredible wisdom. It just required the presence of God. And it was beautiful. There are times when words are necessary. There are times when God just wants to hear what's going on in our heart. And he's not afraid of our doubts. He's not afraid of our struggles. He's not afraid of what we're going through. And he says, yeah, come to me and talk to me. But it's not always that. It's not always me saying something. Sometimes it's just sitting and listening. Jeremiah says this, "And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Sometimes that doesn't require words. Sometimes it just requires getting in his presence. First, realizing that that's the essence of prayer. And then if words come, so be it. But if not, you're still in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. I'm going to ask the team to come on up. We're going to sing another song, but I want to take a moment and pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your word that we've been looking at over the past couple weeks about how to draw closer to you, how to embrace a closer walk with you. But Lord, we thank you for inviting us into your presence. Continually, always. Lord, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for prayer. We thank you for being able to speak to you, but also to hear from you. Father, right now, as we come to the end of our service, I ask that you would lay your hand upon the offering as we come before you with another song here, but we ask that you would lay your hand upon your offering, Lord, today. Use it for your glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray.